Hello and welcome. And thank you for joining us today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you for another episode of The Best Hour here on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. You can also find us by searching for The Best Hour there, or you can join us on our website, truthought.org, truthought.org, our spiritual community. Truthought Spiritual Community welcomes you, and you can join our mailing list there as well. You'll find the lessons and comments and conversations about A Course in Miracles there on a regular basis. Today we'll be discussing Lesson 77, and I'm joined this morning with my beautiful wife, Reverend A.
Good morning.
Good morning. Before we continue, let's join together for a brief moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath here. I am entitled to miracles. You are entitled to miracles because of what you are. You will receive miracles because of what God is. And you will offer miracles because you are one with God. Again, how simple is salvation? It is merely a statement of your true identity. It is this that we will celebrate today.
Your claim to miracles does not lie in your illusions about yourself. It does not depend on any magical powers you have ascribed to yourself, nor on any of the rituals you have devised. It is inherent in the truth of what you are. It is implicit in what God your Father is. It was ensured in your creation and guaranteed by the laws of God.
Today we will claim the miracles which are your right, since they belong to you. You've been promised full release from the world you made. You have been assured that the kingdom of God is within you and can never be lost. We ask no more than what belongs to us is in truth. Today, however, we will also make sure that we will not content ourselves with less.
Begin the longer practice periods by telling yourself quite confidently that you are entitled to miracles. Closing your eyes, remind yourself that you are asking only for what is rightfully yours. Remind yourself also that miracles are never taken from one and given to another, and that in asking for your rights, you are upholding the rights of everyone. Miracles do not obey the laws of this world. They merely follow from the laws of God.
After this brief introductory phase, wait quietly for the assurance that your request is granted. You've asked for the salvation of the world and for your own. You have requested that you be given the means by which this is accomplished. You cannot fail to be assured in this. You are but asking that the will of God be done. In doing this, you do not really ask for anything. You state a fact that cannot be denied.
The Holy Spirit cannot but assure you that your request is granted. The fact that you accept it must be so. There is no room for doubt and uncertainty today. We are asking a real question at last. The answer is a simple statement of a simple fact. You will receive the assurance that you seek.
Our shorter practice periods will be frequent and will also be devoted to a reminder of a simple fact. Tell yourself often today, I am entitled to miracles.
Ask for them whenever a situation arises in which they are called for. You will recognize these situations. You are not relying on yourself to find them. You are therefore fully entitled to receive them whenever you ask.
Remember, too, not to be satisfied with less than the perfect answer. Be quick to tell yourself, should you be tempted, I will not trade miracles for grievances. I want only what belongs to me. God has established miracles as my right. I am entitled to miracles. And so it is. Let's join together again for a brief moment of silence. You know, we were talking about this the other day, and in the absolute and in truth, there really is no need for miracles, you know, because there's only the perfect love of God in truth. But in the house of truth, we call it that, there's this little creation of ours, our imagination, this little game of separation where we've created this house of illusion that we are existing in. Here in the world of form, we believe ourselves to indeed be bodies, to be separated from God, and all of the constructs that go along with a dream of separation that we're experiencing. But like forgiveness, miracles aren't needed because there's nothing wrong. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. There's nothing that needs to be corrected except our misperception, and temporary as it is in the grand scheme of things, without the miracle, if you will, of the gift of God's salvation, his plan for salvation, we could be stuck in this illusion, you know, forever. It's almost like someone being in a coma, you know, and not being able to come out of that condition of mind. Mm-hmm. So miracles are a shift of perception. We've talked about it many, many times. And even a miracle can begin to take on a new meaning for us as we evolve in this world of form. And it's exciting that we're at this place, I think, now in our workbook lessons, because we can begin to expand our conversation a little bit, because Jesus has laid this amazing foundation for us to help us to see that we're simply just having a dream. We're just, this is a construct of our own creation. It's illusory in how we perceive the world of form. And we visit this in mind. So we're entitled to miracles because awakening from illusion is our inheritance. You know, we can't, as soon as we said, you know, this is my explanation, but as soon as we said, oh, let's go play the silly game, and you joined me in it, here we are in a dream of separation, and we took the dream to be our reality, but it's not. And when we are even told that, and that comes to us as a teaching, and then we begin to consider it and ultimately to accept it, we begin to see how flimsy and how plastic, how much like moving through a cloud, as Jesus talks about in the Course in Miracles, that we can move through the cloud to see the sun beyond it, that we're, you know, existing in the darkness of misperception. And this teaching leads us clearly into the light. Mm-hmm. It lets us know that we are the light. And as we begin to be observable in our reconnection, our remembering, our rejoining with Spirit, and in that union, we begin to be the observable witness to that truth, then our brothers and sisters begin to realize for themselves, as we are realizing for ourselves, that's what Jesus did. He became the observable witness to that truth. And through following his discovery and teaching, we are beginning to wake up. Ultimately, the entire sonship, we all wake up, and we begin to create a new world here, a world based in truth. That we're perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. And what we call miracles are just common, natural effects of that truth as we surrender our mind to truth and return to the memory of what we are in God.
Well, and I think that this is a good juncture to, you know, review what a miracle is. And so we define a miracle as a sudden shift of perception. Mm-hmm. And it's a perception shifting from illusion, shifting from separation, shifting from otherness suddenly to that oneness and to the holy relationship with the divine self. And are there any other principles of miracles that you would want to remind us of at this point, just as a kind of a refresher?
Well, the first principle of miracles, you know, is worthy of coming back to again and again and again is foundational, because, you know, there's no difficulty in miracles. Mm-hmm. You know, one miracle is not more difficult than the other. We, and through the ego mind, we see lines, levels, and degrees. You know, this is a hard thing. This is easy thing. This is a harder thing. This is a bad thing. This is a good thing. We, you know, everything's separated out. Mm-hmm. In the idea of duality, in the construct of multiplicity, yeah, and differentiation. But that one always comes back to me as primary, because when we get into situations that are particularly uncomfortable, that lesson, that principle of miracles, is very important to me personally, because wait a minute, you know, there's no difficulty in
no order of difficulty
in miracles. Mm-hmm. That they, one is just as easy as the other. So if I can forgive somebody for something simple, mm-hmm. very simple, and see it for innocent, as something innocent, I can also see the most egregious apparent mm-hmm. Appearance of something, you know, tragic, mm-hmm. as also, you know, innocence. Mm-hmm. And the only way that that's possible, however, is the ultimate miracle, you know, the miracle of shift to perception, is that I'm joined ultimately with my higher self. And I'm seeing the world now with the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than our right mind, but it's still sees this construct for what it is, a mm-hmm. complete illusion. Even as Buddha was able to see, you know, the dream mm-hmm. is you know, we are the dreamer of the dream, as he put it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once we can see the dream for what it is, we become much like having a lucid experience here. And I really believe that was Jesus' experience, was that he saw that this from that state of consciousness, that he was walking through the dream and realized, you know, the truth of the illusory construct, and was able to perform what we call miracles. And physical, you know, physical things change against what we call natural laws, mm-hmm. physical laws, mm-hmm. Newtonian laws. Those are just man-made laws of the ego mind.
So there are no laws but God's.
Right.
Right. We are under no law. Gods.
Yes.
It's just, yes. And so there's also the idea that, that we don't need to make miracles happen. Mm. They're already naturally occurring, and that they are Christ directed, which doesn't mean it's something outside of us, but as we return to our divine identity as Christ, that aspect, you know, leads the way. Mm-hmm. And the ego aspect subsides or recedes into the background. And what I glean, or what occurs to me, what comes through in this particular lesson, I am entitled to miracles, is the why am I entitled to miracles? Because of what I am, and they occur because of what God is. And so, and they occur naturally through me because I am connected. And so this is all really beautifully a return to what I call divine identity, capital D, capital I, identity. And it even states that in this particular lesson. And I think it's interesting because that becomes a part of every teaching that I do. And even in True Thought, one of our taglines is discover yourself, capital S self. And so this is really what we are returning to by lesson 77. We are saying, you know, this is who we are. This is what we are. This is how we serve. And this is as natural as can be. And so to claim what we are entitled to, well, we don't want to claim, you know, the entitlement of our divinity. You know, who am I to be magnificent, and that divine humility of who are you not to be? You are a child of God, and, you know, stand and rise and be that here and now. We're so willing to state that we are entitled to loss, that we're entitled to unworthiness. You know, let us let that wash away from us and be rightly, you know, aligned, and allow that entitlement to reign and to be the mantle that we wear. So, so to be claiming throughout the day, I am entitled to miracles. I am entitled to miracles is really in and of itself a statement of our true identity. I want only what belongs to me. God has established miracles as my right. And to not accept that is to deny who we are, and to deny really what God is. So all are needed and necessary in this, and we are all equally entitled to miracles.
We're all equal, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. I am entitled to miracles. I will not trade miracles for grievances. I want only what belongs to me. God has established miracles as my right. I am entitled to miracles. And so it is.
And so it is.
Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love. I send my love into the